Blog Talk Radio.
God bless you. Thank you for tuning in to Redemption in Higher Dimensions radio broadcast. I'm Linda Shula, the evangelist for the hour, and I praise God that we have joined together again for Sunday's message. Receive the Pentecost power. Receive the Pentecost power. Today is Pentecost Sunday. We want to celebrate that and honor God today by bringing forth His word. And we just praise God that He have a word for us and understand the power that we have because Pentecost, the day that the Holy Spirit was released upon the church, giving us power to be effective witnesses, giving us power to live holy, giving us power to have faith. And so we want to talk about that today. Let's go before the throne of grace, and then right after that, we're going to get into the word of God. Heavenly Father, we say thank you today for a beautiful opportunity, the wonderful privilege we have in bringing forth your word, and God, making us alive again today to bring you glory in the earth. Fill our hearts and our spirits with your wonders to perform. And God, we just want to honor you today. And thank you, God, for saving us. We are so glad that you save us, that you have given us the victory. And so, Lord, we just want to bless you today and ask that you will heal the bodies of those that are sick, God. Move by the power of your spirit and heal them, God. Bring your glory down into the earth, Lord, in their lives. You're already here. Move among them mightily, Lord God. In the name of Jesus, let the Holy Spirit provide what they need, all that they need that pertains to life and godliness, Lord. You have already given us that. So, Lord, we just want to say thank you, Lord, and we lift you up mightily today, God, that you will just have your way in the lives of your people, in our nation, in our churches, Lord. Oh, God, we just ask that your glory will fill the earth, Father. May the power of the Holy Spirit rest on us and you fill the earth, God, in Jesus' name. Well, we're not ashamed to lift you up and speak of you, Lord, that we will bring you glory, Lord. Hallelujah. And that the power of the Holy Spirit that we have been endowed with, God, will give us more wisdom. Wisdom, Lord. Hallelujah. We know that the Holy Spirit is wisdom. So, God, you are leading, guide us into all truth and give us discernment, Lord, that you will guide our affairs with discretion, Lord. Help us, Lord, today. May the power of the Holy Spirit quicken us, Lord, to be alive in you, Lord, to just, Lord God, seek you more and more each day and praise you, to know that you're the author and the finisher of our faith. And, Lord, we're moving by your spirit and you're guiding us by your spirit and leading us into all truth. So we magnify you today, God. We honor you with our lives, God. Heal those that need healing in their minds and in their spirits, God. Go into the prisons and in the mental institutions and everywhere, Lord, where people are suffering and feel depressed and perplexed, God, and feel like giving up. Let them receive the power of Pentecost in their hearts and their spirits. May they surrender and be submitted to your will, God, to know that you want to be worshipped. For it is you that has made us and not we ourselves. And so we submit ourselves and commit all our works unto you. We bless your name today. Hallelujah. Be thou glorified in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Again, thank all of you for tuning into the broadcast. Hallelujah. The day is Pentecost Sunday, as I mentioned before. And we want to look at some scriptures here in the book of Acts. God is going to speak to us. There are many people that believe in Jesus Christ, but they don't have the understanding of Pentecost and the Holy Spirit that he left. Pentecost means 50 days after the Passover, leading up to the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit was endowed and released upon the 120 people that was in the upper room. And so that's what we want to talk about here. We want to talk about the power that we have because of Pentecost. So if you have your Bibles, you can turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 1. And we want to start here at the 7th verse. And let's look at the 7th verse. Acts chapter 1, verse 7. It says, and he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has put in his own power. Now, we want to look at that scripture because that scripture is very important because prior to this scripture, of course, and if we go back to the book of John, that latter chapter, and all the way to the first chapter of Acts. In this book of Acts, Luke is giving Theophilus a very good, well account of what Jesus said before he left the earth after his resurrection and before his ascension. He's given us a very good account of what Jesus wanted people to know in the earth. Particularly right here, it's talking about his disciples. He's talking to his disciples. Some of the disciples wanted to know the time and the season in which the Father, of course, would come back and rebuild the temple and all of these things. They was worried about the natural things, but they couldn't comprehend at the time that everything Jesus was telling them was going to be spiritual. He didn't want them to focus on the natural things like the temple, because, see, the temple is the external part that the Jews were really very adamant about going to show their outward performance of worship. And that has some significance, but what he wanted them to understand was the spiritual significance that they will have inside of them and their inner man to be filled with the power, to be witnesses of him, because you can't be witnesses of Jesus without his spirit. The Bible said that God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. So we're going to be followers of Jesus. You have to have the Holy Spirit inside of you, because other than that, you're not able to hear him. You're not able to be guided by him. So let's look at the second verse here, the next verse here. And we are in Acts chapter 1, and now we're going to go ahead on to verse 8. Verse 8 says, "But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. You shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in all Samaria." Praise the Lord. So God is letting them know that they were going to receive power after the Holy Ghost was come upon them. Hallelujah. And see, that power, again, was going to be a quickening power, that his spirit would be inside of them. Very important. It's very important, hallelujah, because, again, we cannot be effective witnesses for Jesus. We cannot do anything for him without his power. He told them that he wanted them to go to Jerusalem, and he wanted them to wait for the power, wait for the Comforter, because he had promised the Comforter. So that's what he wanted them to do. Go to Jerusalem and wait 10 days. And when they would go and wait 10 days, they were going to receive the promise. Because, see, Jesus was getting ready to be ascended into heaven. He had already resurrected and had visited with them. Now he wanted them to go to Jerusalem, and he wanted them to wait for the promise, for the Comforter. And that's what we see here in scriptures here. Now let's go to another scripture here, because we want to talk about the Holy Spirit more before the broadcast ends. We want to give more clarity of the power of receiving the Holy Spirit. So let's go now to Acts chapter 2. Now, Acts chapter 2 here, let's start at verse 1. "And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all one accord in one place." Now, that's important to note here, because this was the day that God was getting ready to release the power. Hallelujah. This was the day that God had promised. Now, see, they were all in one accord in one place. That's important. In one accord means their minds was on God. Looking in expectancy, waiting for God. They were waiting for Jesus. Whatever he said that he was going to do, they were waiting for that. And that's a good word for you and I. If God tells us to wait, he's going to do something in our lives, we need to wait, because the Holy Spirit is at work. And so we see here, he told them to go into Jerusalem, wait for the promise. So that day had come in verse 2 right here. Acts chapter 2, verse 2, "And suddenly there came," we're in Acts chapter 2, verse 2 now, "and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled the house where they were sitting." Now, when we look here at the book of Acts, we have this word of tarrying. They were tarrying. That word tarrying means waiting. And we don't want to be super religious about this word tarrying, because, of course, churches of old have always thought it to be on our knees calling on Jesus, and that is good. However you wait on the Lord is good. Whether you waiting and meditating for him to pour out the Spirit upon your life, whether you on your knees calling on Jesus, waiting for him to pour out the Spirit on your life, however you receive it, as long as you receive it. So in this waiting, they were on one accord. Their spirit was right. Their heart was right. Their mind was right. And they were humble. Because, see, Jesus was going to be taken away from them. At this point, he was already taken away from them. He had walked the earth for those 3 years, and now he was taken away from them. And they wanted to know that Jesus was still in the earth. His spirit was still in the earth with them. Hallelujah. And so the power of the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, was necessary for them to feel that Jesus was still with them. So let's look at verse 3. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues, like as a fire. Now, this is talking about speaking in tongues. Other people may try to resort and relate it to a different language that we're going to read the next scripture here, where people was just hearing each other speak in a different language. It didn't really mean speaking in tongues. Well, I have to tell you the truth on this broadcast. This was a heavenly language. This was a spiritual language. This was a dialect in the spirit that was a connection to God, a direct connection to God, where only he can understand the spirit. Now, let me elaborate right here about speaking in tongues after the power of the Holy Spirit come upon you. This is very important. Now, some believe now you don't have to receive the spirit of tongues, the gifts of tongues, but it is one of the gifts. Gifts, but it's one of the gifts. And now, if you want the fullness of Christ, and the Bible says, now are you complete in him? We're not going to debate about whether you're going to go to heaven or hell if you don't speak in tongues. I've never read. However, if you want the fullness of all that God has for you, if you want the fullness of the power of his God, all you have to do is be in the presence of God, ask God, hallelujah, for his spirit. He's endowed in, because in your heavenly language, you're able to perfectively. You're able to just give yourself to God where you're praying in the spirit, where Satan will even know what you're talking about. And that is the power of the Holy Spirit. That is the privilege that we have in Jesus. So we're going to go to another scripture here. Let's go to the next scripture here we just read, of course. And so it came from heaven as of a mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. Verse 3, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them. All of us spoke with tongues. Nobody was exempt from speaking in tongues. So that should let you know and me know that none of us are exempt from speaking in tongues, that the gift has been made readily available for all of us to be filled and endowed with the power of the Holy Spirit and have the gifts of these tongues and other dialect, with a spiritual translation to God, again, because he'll understand what you're saying in the spirit. The Bible says that the spirit makes intercessions for us with groanings that which cannot be uttered, that we don't understand. Have you ever been burdened or feeling some kind of way? You don't have words to describe, and you want to be in prayer, or you want to get in prayer to tell it to God. Well, your heavenly language translate what you're feeling in your heart. Your heavenly language in the spirit gives you the power and the utterance to talk to God in the spirit. Some things God will give you the revelation to help you understand what you're saying. Other things, times you don't know what you're saying because the spirit is making intercessions for you. You may not understand what you're saying, hallelujah, but the spirit is giving utterance to God. The spirit is moving forward for you by your spirit of tongues, talking to God for you, relating to God for you. So that is the importance of speaking in tongues, praise the Lord. And it is a gift that you can receive as well as the 120 that were in the upper room receive as well. Let's go on to the next verse here. Verse 4 says, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. See, it was the Holy Spirit that gave them the utterance. We don't want to get into, again, about the debate and the rationale of if you don't have tongues. If you don't have tongues, then what's going to happen to you, you know, if you're going to heaven or hell? We don't want to really get into that, because God is a God of love. The only thing I can say, you're living beneath your privilege and you haven't received the fullness of the Spirit. All of the 120, even Jesus, Mary, Jesus' mother received the utterance of tongues. Yes, she was up there too. Hallelujah. So why would that be an exempt for us to not receive? Why would that be? Now, let me tell you some reasons why people don't receive the Spirit and the gifts of tongue. Because they're afraid. They have not opened out all the way to God. See, when you speak in tongues, it's a gift of prophecy as well. And the Bible said that is what we should desire more than any gift, the gift of prophecy. So if you want to be an effective, God's call you to the office of a prophet, you have to be able to speak in another language so that you can speak to the church, so that God can speak to you. And then you have a word that you can give to the church concerning what the Holy Spirit has revealed to you. Your dialect is your connection. Your spiritual dialect is the connection to God. And now, again, God still loves you. You're still one of his own if you don't speak in tongues. However, the manifestation of the gifts that God wants to give you, it would be hindered or is not available, or you're not exercising in the fullness of the Spirit that God will have you to when you don't receive the gift of tongues. And they're talking about Pentecost, receive the power. Now, let's move on to tongues. We didn't do the broadcast to talk about tongues, but we wanted to have to touch on that because this is what Scripture is saying. Now, verse 5 here, we're in Acts chapter 2, verse 5, and they're dwelling at Jerusalem, Jews, devout men out of every nation under heaven. Now, when this noise was abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded because that every man heard them speak in his own language. Yeah, they heard the different natural dialect of each of their nation, of their language. That's what they heard. Hallelujah. And verse 7 says, and they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not these which speak Galileans? And how we hear every man in our own language wherein we were born. And they begin in verse 9, you can read that, all of the different languages all the way down to verse 10, all of the different dialect that they heard themselves speaking in. Holy Spirit, we want something mighty. See, the Spirit of God is released, and wonders are released in the Spirit into the earth when we are filled with the Spirit. Miracles, signs, and wonders, and healing, and deliverance, power, and wisdom. God is with you like a mighty warrior when you're filled with his Spirit. Verse 12 says, and they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, what mean is this? Others mocking said, these men are full of wine. Well, it was early in the morning. And when Peter began to proclaim the word of God, he let them know, no, we ain't drunk. It's 9 o'clock in the morning. In the Jewish customs, you know, it was too early to be drinking. Hallelujah. So Peter proclaimed that to them. So, but the people, the outsiders that were looking in and heard them speaking and glorifying. See, when God fills you with his Spirit, you just go off in the Spirit. You're so glad. There's an indwelling power. There's a joy like a rivers of water and springs of freedom and blessedness of gladness that come over you, inside of you. Moreover, there's a peace that comes inside of you. You may not jump, shout, scream, and jerk like everybody else or somebody else. That feeling in a different way. Oh, bless the Lord. But you're going to feel something. Oh, if you don't feel nothing but the peace of God coming inside of you, welling up, making your heart glad, where you can just raise your hand, where tears may stream down your eyes. You may bust out in laughter because of the Holy Spirit that's in your life now. You may feel relieved and have a peace, and you have joy down in your soul. There's an experience. There's an experience with the Holy Spirit when you receive it, the Pentecost power. There's an experience. And the Holy Spirit gives us the ability, the wisdom, to understand the Bible, to read the Bible, that God illuminate our eyes to understand scriptures. Let's go a little further here. Verse 13 again said they were mocking. Others said these men are full of wine. But look what Peter, after the power of the Holy Ghost came. Now, Peter, I have to explain this to you real quickly. Peter was one that when God called him and, of course, after Jesus was crucified and even before he was crucified in the Garden of Gethsemane, you know, he was going through those trials before the judgment of Pontius Pilate and all of the ones the Sanhedrin Jew that was trying to put him to death. Peter ran. Peter ran and doubted Jesus. He was afraid. But when the power of Pentecost came upon him after the day of Pentecost, Peter was one of the boldest preachers for Christ during this time. He came, but see, the power of the Holy Spirit wouldn't doubt you. When you are filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, you know, it may take a while. God works on us. The Holy Spirit works on us. But after the power of the Holy Spirit come upon you, let me tell you something. You have boldness. The Bible says the righteous are bold as a lion. We get that from the Holy Spirit. We can't take no credit as believers for the boldness and the power that we have. Because ultimately, before the power of the Holy Spirit come upon you, I can speak for myself, you're not as you are now before the Holy Spirit come upon you. Some people are timid. Some people are shy. Some people have all type of ways they are before the Holy Spirit come upon their lives. But once the Holy Spirit come upon your life, you are not ashamed of the gospel. You teach the word. You live the word. You stand firm on the word. You lift up Jesus. See, people began to boldly, all these people, as we continue to read, you're going to see that 3,000 people came to the Lord that day because Peter boldly claimed the word. He realized the Holy Spirit opened him out to the Spirit and what really matters. And Jesus began to show him the real effects of what he came to do and the work was accomplished on the cross. Now it's time to go forth in power because the Comforter had came. See, the Comforter, that's a wonderful word that Christ has given us. The Comforter is the Holy Spirit that is with us in the earth. See, when Jesus comes back, there will be no more Holy Spirit. There will be no more power in the earth that will be able to save us, that will give us power to pray, that will give our faith strength to persevere and to endure. There will be nothing else of the Holy Spirit in the earth to help men. That's why Jesus wants people to come unto him. So again, let's look here, verse 14. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, you men of Judea and all you that dwell at Jerusalem, be it known unto you this day, and hearken to my words. For these, verse 15, for these are not drunken as you suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. It's only the third hour of the day, Peter said. They're not drunk. This is wonder that God has done. Because, see, God is sending his spirit into the earth so that people can be saved, so that we can have the power to witness effectively, because God wants people to be saved. God is coming back one day, and he wants people to receive Jesus Christ into their hearts. And when you receive Jesus Christ into your heart, you have a spirit of wholeness. You have a spirit of openness that you know that you're a sinner, that we're sinners and that we need to be saved. And Jesus came to redeem us with his blood. This is very important. This is why the Holy Spirit was poured out, change us. The Holy Spirit changes our hearts. Gives us a new heart, a new mind to live righteously according to the spirit that Jesus left into the earth and according to word, so that we can come out of darkness into the marvelous light of Jesus Christ and live as he say live, so that we don't lose our souls inside. See, there's something that's coming on the other side. God don't want us to lose our souls. There's something that's coming on the other side when everybody expires from this life. And God has already given us what we need that will save our souls, and it is this word. It is this word. It is the power of the Holy Spirit that's coming to transform us to be like Christ so that we can get into heaven. Only the pure in heart shall see God. Only the righteous shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. So when we receive Jesus Christ, we receive his righteousness to be called his own. We receive his righteousness to be his children. The Bible said, Noah, you ought to know that there is no unrighteousness that shall enter the kingdom of heaven. Jesus has already left us the Holy Spirit and the Comforter that will cleanse us, wash us, purify us, and make us right before the Father. We have to be right when we stand before God in his righteousness. You would never be right in and of ourselves, but the Holy Spirit is imputed upon us righteousness. He wants us to just be in him. Christ just wants us to be in him. He cleans us up. He washes us up. He gives us a new mind. He gives us a new heart. It is Jesus. It is Jesus. So it says here, he told them in verse 15, these are not drunk as you suppose, seeing is but the third hour of the day. verse 16 said, but this is that which is spoken of by the prophet Joel in the Old Testament. And this is what was prophet. This is what was spoken of in the Old Testament that Joel. See, the Holy Spirit was spoken of long time ago by the patriarchs. Long time ago that the God had promised to send a prophet, Jesus, the Messiah, to send a king that would rule on the throne forever. The king, Prince of Peace, rule on the throne of David forever. All of the people that Jesus came through the lineage to bring salvation and redemption. They couldn't see it. They didn't really know what it was. But the prophets and the patriarchs of old had to preach what God had showed them and warn the people about what he came to do in sending Jesus, the Messiah, to save us from our sins. And because of him, we have new life in Christ. We have passed from death unto life in Christ, Jesus. Let's go to another verse here. Verse 17 says, and it came to pass in the last days. This is what Joel prophesied that was coming. And Peter is giving a recount of it. And if you want to turn your Bibles to it before the broadcast is over, you can go to Joel, Old Testament, chapter 2, verse 28 through 32. And this is what it said. And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and daughters will prophesy, and your young men will see visions, and your old men will dream dreams. Verse 18, and on my servants and on my maidservants I will pour out in those days my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. Now it's getting into the last days what's going to happen. Verse 20 says, the sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and noble day of the Lord come. Verse 21, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. You men of Israel. Look what, now that's where it's in at right there, verse 21. You go and read Joel 2:28 through verse 32. You go ahead on and read that, because God is letting us know what he wants people to do is receive him. He's going to pour out his spirit upon all flesh. All flesh that will receive him. Now we go here to verse 22. Peter picks it back up as he's talking to the crowd that's looking on. He said, you men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs, which God did by him in the midst of you, as you yourselves also know. See, they were witnesses. Verse 23 says, him, Christ, being delivered by determined counsel and foreknowledge of God, you have taken, and by the wicked hands have crucified and slain. Now he's letting them know that you have crucified the very Christ that came to save you. The very Christ that came to redeem you, the very Christ that shed his blood for you. So he go a little further here. Verse 24 says, whom God has raised up. Okay, well, see, he's telling them now, you may have crucified him, but now God has raised him up, having loosed the bands of death, because it was not possible that he should be held or held to it. Verse 25 says, for David spoke concerning him, for I foreknew the Lord always before my face, for he was on my right hand that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice and my tongue was glad. Moreover, also my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither shall thou suffer your Holy One to see corruption. So Peter is giving a recount here of the Old Testament in which David uttered these scriptures that God was not going to leave Jesus in hell after his crucifixion, that he was going to be raised up. Verse 28 says, thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. Now Peter go back and start saying again, men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David, that he's both dead and buried, and is a sepulcher is with us to this day. Now it's saying that David is already dead in a sepulcher. He's already dead in the grave. He didn't rise up, so this wasn't talking about David. It's talking about Jesus that has been raised up. Verse 30 says, therefore, being a prophet and knowing that God has sworn with an oath to him of that fruit of his loins, talking about the fruit of his loins was Jesus that was coming, that would be raised up. According to the flesh, he will raise up Christ to sit on the throne. Now, verse 31 says, seeing this before spoke of the resurrection. Now Peter is giving account that David was talking about this, because David was talking about resurrection Jesus. That's why I've given this account. that his soul was not led in hell, neither his flesh saw corruption. Because people that die and go in the grave, they don't get back up. But Jesus got back up. Verse 32, says this Jesus has God raised up. Wherefore, we are all witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he has shed forth this, which now you see and hear. So Peter's let people know this, what you see is the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. This is the Holy Ghost, therefore, being by the right hand of God, Jesus Christ exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost. Verse 34, for David did not ascend into heaven, but he had himself. The Lord said, until my Lord sit here at my right hand, until I make your enemies, your foes, my footstool. Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made the same Jesus whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. So Peter's let them know, because crucifixion had just happened. The third day, Jesus done rose up. Now, here it is, 50 days into Pentecost, and now he has already released the power of the Holy Spirit. So Peter is letting them know that this fact, what you have seen and what you heard, this is that which God has promised and has been released to us. Let's look at verse 37. Time getting away from us here. Now, when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts. See, they felt bad and said to Peter and to the rest of the apostles, see, the Holy Spirit brings conviction. The Holy Spirit shows us our sins. The Holy Spirit lets us know that Jesus is real. When you hear the word, the Bible said that the day you hear the word, harden not your heart. So when the day of Pentecost came, the Holy Spirit was released, they felt something. They felt that what they did to Jesus was wrong. So they said that they all began to have their hearts. Their hearts were pricked. They were pricked in their hearts. And Peter said unto the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Look what the people said to Peter and the rest of the apostles. I mean, you got to have humble spirit when you hear Jesus. When you hear the word of God, the Bible says, harden not your heart. So when we see these people, after Peter preached to them, they wanted to know what to do. In verse 38, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, the Pentecost power, the Holy Spirit. He told them, you're going to have to repent. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, as many as the Lord shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourself from this untoward generation. You got to look at the world that you're not going to be left behind in this world of sin. You got to receive the power. Well, Christ will give us the power to overcome sin. He said, I have overcome the world. I have overcome the world, and be of good courage that we shall overcome it. We got to fight the good fight of faith against the desires of our flesh and things that try to pull us back to the world. So he wants them to repent. Some people feel because they don't do nothing tangibly, they're not out there, they're not a sinner. You're a sinner just by your nature. And your heart and your mind have to be regenerated and renewed so that you can think like Christ. Because there are many people that have pride inside. You have an internal sin. People worry about the external sins, but the internal sin is what's in your heart, how you think about one another, how you don't walk in love, you're not humble. That those are sins. Those are sins. So that's what he wanted them to do, so that they can think like Christ, and we read the word, we can be like Christ. Verse 41 says, then they gladly received his word and were baptized. And the same day there were added unto them 3,000 souls to the church. 3,000 souls was added to the church that day because Peter preached. That's the power of the Holy Spirit. That's the importance of preaching the gospel. Verse 42 says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in breaking bread and in prayer. That's why we have the church. Everybody sticking together, preaching the word and living for Christ and lifting him up. Verse 43 says, and the fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed together had all things in common. See, this is the key here. You know, people don't want to do anything for anybody.
because their hearts are hardened. They don't know about the gospel of Jesus Christ. They don't submit themselves to the full gospel. They want to be selfish and look at life in their own worldviews of how they view others. But Christ have one way for us to come into the knowledge of truth of how he wants us to be in regards to one another here in the earth. Because how you treat people will determine your destiny, whether it's heaven or whether it's hell. Verse 45 says, and they sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men. Every man had need. Any man that had a need, they all had things in common to share. Verse 46 says, and they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as need to be saved. Hallelujah. That's what the power of Pentecost would do. He put us on one accord to understand his spirit in the earth and how we should walk in love and how we should be towards one another. Jesus gives us the right spirit. He gives us the right spirit in how we should govern our hearts and our minds. He transformed us to live as he lived, to think like he think towards one another, praise the Lord, to sanctify our soul before him. Hallelujah. Now, just before we go off the broadcast, I tell you, the broadcast is about to end, but I wanted to let you all know another scripture here I wanted to look at. In Isaiah chapter 11, verse 2 says, the Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the spirit of counsel and of might, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord. Jesus had the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. The spirit of wisdom. See, the Holy Spirit is a conduit. Let me say it like this. Wisdom is a conduit of the Holy Spirit. Wisdom is a conduit of the Holy Spirit. Because, see, the Holy Spirit is a discerner. The Holy Spirit lets you know what you should do, what you should not do, how you act, the way you shouldn't act, how you should treat that person. The Holy Spirit, the Bible says, come in the earth to convict of sin and of righteousness. So he convicts us of sin and he convicts of righteousness because he knows what's right. He knows if our attitudes are right. He knows if our heart is right. That's what the Holy Spirit, and that's why that spirit rests on Jesus. He had it. Jesus had the power of the Holy Spirit. We want to look at another scripture here. Hallelujah. We want to look at one more scripture here because the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 1 and 30, it is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God, our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Christ has come our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. That's what Christ has become for us. When we receive the power of the Holy Spirit, he's our righteousness, he's our redemption, and he's our holiness. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Let's look at another scripture in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17, and asking that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Father, may give you a spirit of wisdom and a revelation in your knowledge of him. The Holy Spirit will open you up. That's why in the latter part of the last chapter of John, he breathed on them, and they received the Holy Spirit with understanding. He breathed on them so that their understanding can come open to the scriptures, so that they can read the Bible when they read to understand what Jesus had came to do in the earth. You can't understand the Bible. You can't understand Jesus until you receive his Spirit. You always be in darkness and selfish in your own ways. You always think that you're right, and you'll always be mean to people. You'll always do things in the way of your flesh when you don't receive the Holy Spirit because you don't have understanding of the real Jesus. Make sure you know the real Jesus is only one, but make sure you're not serving the false Christ. There's only one Messiah, and he's a God of love, and he sent the Holy Spirit that'll make our hearts soften. He said he'll break up the fallow ground of our heart, soften our hearts so that we can be like him in the earth. And Jesus is low. He's very low and humble. He's a lamb that was slain from the foundation of the world, a lamb that was led to the slaughter. He didn't even open his mouth. Now, that's humility, and he wants to bring us into that place. But the only way we can get there is we have the Pentecost power of the Holy Spirit residing on the inside. So we're going to stop right there because we don't want the broadcast to close off before you all. I tell you all, God bless you, I love you. But one more scripture, 2 Timothy 1 and 7 says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. Hallelujah. That's the power of Pentecost. Power, love, and a
sound mind. God bless you. Thank you. Tuning into the broadcast. Until next time, I'm Linda Shuler, the evangelist for the hour. Have a wonderful day.
Jesus, I clicked off. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.